First in family. What's going on?
Surprise, we're late.
Shocker. Shocker, we're late.
Today, we had every intention. Today, we were getting it set up. We were good. My dad texted me and said, hey, I'll be there in 15 minutes with some stuff for you, because he's moving houses. He's selling the big house. So he came over with a ladder and some other things, and then he wants to sit and play with pork chops. So that was my fault.
That is part of why we're late.
Part of it.
That's part of why we're late. The other part, not attributed to Dr. Lawrence Galkin, is the fact that we had technical difficulties yet again. I'm really, really, really hoping that it's not as bad as last time, but I've been spending the entire visit that her dad came over to drop said stuff off right here trying to get this stupid computer to load this beautiful program so we could see all your wonderful faces, like Danielle right here, who said, hey. Hey, Danielle. So, yeah, so we had some technical difficulties. It took, I'm not even kidding, probably about 17 minutes to hit the reboot and get this thing rolling. So as Amy just said, y'all mark my words.
Like you did last week.
No. Mark my words. There will be a new computer in this house if I can go pick one up or it can be delivered before the next live call.
Yeah.
We are in town. Yeah, we're out of town Wednesday-ish. We are in town Friday. So the next live should be coming to you, coming in hot from a brand new smoking Mac Mini M1.
We are out of town Wednesday, and
speaking of going out of town on Wednesday,
Murphy, we're out of Murphy. Town with you.
Murphy, you guys, 5 more days, you guys are going out of town too? Weird.
Strange.
Super, super excited to see you guys, man. Super excited. What's up, family? Y'all got me now?
So we see this as Facebook user, and that's because there's a link in this call that you have to click and allow it to post your name with your little bubble with your profile picture. So you can either do that now or just let us know who you are.
Tag your name. Tom. Tom is here to, I mean, well-deserved, bro.
It was the first time I heard Jonathan physically, like, laugh
we were,
like that.
We were in the car. We were driving. And Ann saw it and it stopped. And she goes, what happened? What? And she winded it back. I said, babe, you got. I said, my man got you.
I'm so gullible.
Got you. Tom, that was my man, dude. Hats off. I was wearing a hat earlier today at the beach, so hats off to you, sir. You crushed it. That was incredible. Thought I was doing something wrong, Facebook user. Nope. My Mac was doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's why we kind of like to Mac. Say 5:30-ish. 6-ish, about 6 o'clock.
Right. You know, like, well, right, yeah. We try our best, but sometimes family, like her family, and technology, they hate us. It's all good, though. We're here.
I can't kick Dad out. He loves pork chops so much. He sat down and played with him the whole time.
Murphy, no ish. You're busy on Wednesday. We are. We are busy. We got a sitter for the chop so we can get over there and come hang with you guys.
We do. Pork chops go into the dog sitter so that we can spend all day with you.
Danielle, that makes sense that it's Mike Mills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mike, this is your first time. Welcome. Welcome to First In Live. You can see it is very professional. We are 100% stuffy corporate types who do everything perfect always. We never have any problems. So there is a link in the description here, and you can try to click it now. You can do it next time or whatever, but it's i.amfirst.in/showme. And if you click that link, you can give it permission so we can see your lovely Facebook profile, like this lovely Facebook profile, Coach Amy in the house.
Look at the sweet face. Yeah, face is sweet. I just realized this is all we went down to the beach today.
I know. I've been trying to discreetly park this side because it was windblowing.
Yeah, windy and sea salt.
Fun fact, I love nuggies. Made me jump to chicken nuggies. And when she said, look at those sweet faces, I read that as, look at those sweet tacos. And I was like, yo, girl, how'd you know that we had tacos today.
We did. He's finding you a picture yeah. at the moment.
It was supposed to work a lot quicker, but it was me shirtless holding some food.
We did, Amy, next time. Yep. Wait, can you see? Sort of.
Oh, you can't see? Hold on.
It won't focus.
It's not worth it. Anyway, I'm holding tacos. Surprise.
Yeah,
so,
Amy, next time, if you're going to come down here before the reunion for a little time, we'll take you to get some street tacos.
Tacos on the brain.
They're chicken tacos.
Tacos on the brain. Mike, we will know Facebook user is you. But, you. Man, so happy you're here, brother. You, buddy.
Killing it.
I love you already. Just met you. You just came into the circle, just came into my life, just entered it. But man, you kicked the door down and you just came in with a presence, man. Your vibe, your energy, it does not shock me that you and Danielle are tight like that, because you're my man, bro. You're my man, dude. I love you already. So yeah, whatever you need to do, you don't even need to click the link. I'll just know it's you. I'll feel the positive vibes, man. I'll feel the energy, dude. I love you already, man. Tom, buddy, a joke that is that good, dude. You listen to that as many times as you want, man. That was amazing. You know, he did it better than a Rickroll, man. He did, like, one of the most anger, visceral reaction-inducing homages ever, because... if you were around when that Sopranos finale ended, you were not happy with the Sopranos, or you loved it. So, very polarizing. It was one or the other. A lot of polarizing things going on these days, but at least the Sopranos is a pretty positive one.
Something wrong. Mike, we got you. We see all of you. We got your comments.
Coach
you.
Tasha, happy to see your smiling faces. We're smiling right now.
Yeah, tacos. Beach.
Old workhorse decided to boot up for us so we could have this live. I'm very excited. Did you guys notice these bubbles are a little faster? We're gonna keep this alacrity rolling. We're gonna keep this this live thing. We're buying new stuff. New shit's getting bought this week. Damn it. Mike says thank you. That's right. That's right. See, now we know it's you, man. I appreciate it. Coach Amy, street tacos down, plus some Dr. Dean horses need to happen. Got to get her autograph my book.
Yeah.
Y'all, I'm not even kidding. That post was made an announcement for a reason. Buy that book.
She was one of the first people that we met in Vero. And we were like, man, we know nobody. We know nothing about Vero, whatever. And it happened to be that we were close to Thanksgiving time. And so I knew nothing about her. I started training her in the gym, and we met her maybe twice. And she said, hey, what are y'all doing for Thanksgiving? And I said, taking turkey and stuffing to the beach probably, like box stuffing.
We had Butterball frozen turkey mm-hmm. breast from Sam's.
Yeah.
And we had box stuffing because we were sleeping on the floor.
Fancy.
Continue.
It's just like 2 days we've known this woman. And she goes, hey, why don't you come over to my house for Thanksgiving? Come over and eat with me and eat with our family. And we did, man. She invited us in her home, shared food with us. She didn't know us from anybody. She was just being genuinely sweet. And she's been in our lives ever since. And if you want to know anything about struggling and not letting your past and where you came from define who you are or who you have to be in the future, dude, get this book. Her life is just incredible.
You know, man, we talk about all the time. Everybody's circumstances are their own, and no one's struggle is better or worse than anybody else's. I'm here to call shenanigans kind of on that. There are definitely shades of gray, and everyone's emergency is real to them.
She's been through some stuff.
Overcoming a raw deal and a poor hand is the absolute understatement, and we've known Melissa for Dr. Dean, we've known her for, man, 6 years, and Anne's with her, you know, twice a week. She is our physician. She takes care of us when we need doctoring, and you know, even I mean she had the advanced copy for a while and read all the stuff, but I heard the Reader's Digest glazed off version, man. When you dig into this book and you read about struggles and overcoming obstacles and addiction, and how somebody turned a really raw deal into something really, really powerful and dedicated her life to helping other people heal. Man, it's pretty good. And it certainly made me, you know, over the course of the time I read it, go, damn, I got some pretty good shit going on. And that's not the point. The point isn't like, oh man, you know, whatever. The point is just like, you know, if there's an obstacle, it can be overcome, however that word works. You know, it can be beaten. And I think that's just what a great, awesome story it is. So buy that book, read that ish. Tom, I don't know if it's workout material, but
super
bro,
short, but yeah.
Whatever pumps you up, whatever gets you jacked. I mean, I'm with it. I'm with it. Hey, Ian, surprise, we relate too. So you're really not that late, my man. It's all good. So man, we had some questions come in. And I actually have something that I want to jam on if we have time. You guys have to hang out for it. It kind of falls in line with what we're going to go over here today. So let's go ahead and let's get the surface. Let's warm this up, question time. We're going to start with a question that a new member to the fam, former neighbor of ours in the same neighborhood, not like next door, Amy Emery asks, and it has to do with protein muffins. And Amy, she's new, y'all. She doesn't know yet, so we'll surprise her here in a second. Amy said, I would love for you guys to share your protein muffin recipe.
Jonathan's trigger word.
And your favorite protein powders that you and Ann use.
Okay.
So, no problem here.
Yeah.
The first one is really easy. We don't use recipes.
And we'll tell you why in a second.
This is the absolute, probably single-handed, most frustrating thing when people start first in. They think I'm like literally effing with them when I say we don't use recipes. But we don't use recipes. And the reason for that is pretty simple. I just don't think they really apply. I don't think they're applicable for the way I choose to eat. And what I mean by that is everything we do is different every single time. It may be 5 grams of this different. It may be 10 grams of that different. It may be 500 calories different, depending on what we want to do. So we don't stick to a recipe. Instead, we stick to ingredients, and we use those ingredients in the amounts that help us hit our goals. And that is the way we eat. Whether it's a sandwich, whether it's a pizza, whether it's a protein muffin, everything is engineered from the meal up to serve a purpose. And that's why recipes, they don't appeal to me, because I don't want to eat in your box. I don't want to be narrowly constrained to what fits your appropriate level of food.
It's been 13 minutes and Jonathan's crossed the line.
But I want to eat right for me. That doesn't mean that recipes are terrible for people. They're just not good for me. So I couldn't tell you what a recipe is. I can tell you forgiving ratios, but I can tell you that those ratios change every time we eat, right? So the forgiving, you know, way to start, if you can afford it, is like a 50-50 mix or a 1-to-1 mix of protein powder and pancake mix, a complete pancake mix. It could be she who shall not be named, the aunt that we're not allowed to talk about anymore. It could be Krusty's. It could be whatever is BOGO. That's how we shop. Yeah. It could be whatever you want. But pancake mix really helps out. But at the same time, I'm seeing your comments, fam. Don't worry.
We'll get there.
We'll get you. At the same time, those ratios can change. I don't eat 50-50. I eat whatever I need to fit my goals. Sometimes that could be 99% protein powder and 1% pancake mix, or it could slide all the way down and it could be a ton of pancake mix and very little protein powder.
Yeah.
So it depends. And that's how I do recipes. I know it frustrates the shit out of everyone that I can't just give you an answer, but I did. It depends. And it kind of falls back on servings to me. Well, how many servings do I need? I have no idea. Let's talk about how many calories you have left. How many grams of X do you need? How many grams of Y do you need to avoid? And that's why I don't fit inside that parallelogram.
We're avoiding the word altogether.
Right. So that's your first part. Let me catch up on some fam. Fam wanted to catch me.
I will tell you what. I'll talk about tips for protein muffins when we get to the second part of your question. But protein muffins, for Jonathan specifically, are fillers at the end of the night. So I build his entire day around his meal. So he likes a big dinner, so he gets a big dinner. He likes his night snack, so we put in whatever it is, popcorn or something. Protein muffins are fillers during the day. So, I'm a little short on protein. Let's throw some of that in. Oh, I'm short on carbs. We'll throw that in. But I got some good tips for you, so we'll get to those.
Remind me, because I'm going to drop the super secret strategy on everybody. I think you guys are ready for it. So Annette's here. Annette, you walked right in.
Hi, the bad joke.
to a good time. A good time, we'll call it that. Murphy, I see you. What do you think Wednesday is going to be like, Murphy? How do you think this is going to go down with all of us together? Coach Amy's diming me out trying to call HR.
You're looking at it.
Ian, I'm skipping you, bud.
We're not reading that.
I've done enough. Right. Murphy, I'm so glad I'm not the only person who has an inappropriate sense of humor. Yeah, I should have thought that one through. You're catching me live. This is the benefit you get.
You'll find out on Wednesday. Jonathan is the inappropriate one and the dad joke one, and I'm usually the one that can't get my thoughts together, so I slur words and thoughts and just lose statements halfway through.
Anna is here. What's up? Howdy. How are you doing? Might have got a little excited. I saw you fill out your itinerary on the reunion spreadsheet that Coach Amy was awesome to put together. The double Anna duo flying in at the same time. I'm so excited. Amy laughed at my first joke. Man, I walked right into that one. Sorry, fam. And she says, got it. It makes perfect sense. Danielle's been around for a little bit. She knows. Hashtag no recipes. She let
there
you walk
are.
Into that one. Annette, thank you. Thankfully, we've got some beautiful lighting in here on a computer that drives me insane because you can't see how flushed I got. So that's good. I'm happy. Murphy, I think you called it right here. A what you said, fam. One of them blasts. Like I haven't said fucking 1,000 times on this thing. Yeah, man, we're stoked. So circling back to this question, what Ann said is correct. Go figure, right? My end of day snack, my dessert, if you will, is how we fill in gaps, right? And the reason for that is it goes back to the strategy we started when we originally, many, many moons ago, coming up on 7 years, doing this thing, was how do we make the hard stuff a little less difficult? And when we started, we were robots. We ate 5 things. We ate oats, eggs, chicken, rice, broccoli, and
6 things.
Olive oil. Forgot that. Yep. Forgot that guy right there. That's all we ate. And so we learned with a very narrow pantry how to manipulate things by the gram. And when that got really old, and I mean 8 weeks of doing that,
every day.
We opened things up, we opened them up very slowly. We added one different ingredient basically at a time. So we added
pasta yep.
instead of rice. Ooh, rebels, you know. But that's how we kind of learned how to do this thing, is because we did it the really not fun way. And that's why we don't suggest many people do that unless there's an issue or you really want to, you know, dial it in. And one of the first things we did when we started adding in different meals and different foods is we noticed it just wasn't as regimented, right? Need a few grams of this, need a few grams of that, or whatever. So the plan, we put our heads together and we decided, hey, you know what would be awesome? What if we had a way to backfill or fill in these holes at the end of the day? Cap off the macros, if you will. And the easiest way and tastiest way we came to do that was with a shake. So with a shake, at its basic form, you have a protein source, your protein powder. You have limitless carb sources,
Normally it was fruit.
You could use any number of things. If you need ideas for that, post it in the group. People love to talk about carbs. And for a fat source, you could use coconut oil for something sweet or tasty. But if you didn't have like the mouthfeel of that, sometimes if we needed a lot of fat, we didn't like it, get it from dairy, heavy cream, or whipped cream. So we had a collection of powders and carbs and fats that we could stack up and cap off our macros, whatever we had in the day. Now, if you guys circled back to last week where you heard me say, I don't like to drink my calories. That's true because I'm hungry. So I really don't like to drink them. So my current shake and my favorite shake,
here it is,
is the one we bake. And that's what that is.
I thought he was going to add the end in the form of a cake. Okay, just kidding.
Whoa. I did say that.
Whoa.
Man. I'm so, you know what I mean, that I don't even remember how I am. So that's awesome. Thanks, babe. Yeah. Thanks for taking my back there.
Got you.
My favorite shake is the one I bake in the form of a cake. I double gun that
double
one.
Double gun.
I don't know why I'm so jazzed up. I think because I was about to flip shit and break everything in this room when this thing didn't load up. I didn't even say hello to Ann's dad.
No, he didn't even come out.
Didn't even come out because I was raging. So that's how we learned how to do this thing. That's how we eat whatever. We saved a solid buffer of calories, 20%-ish, the size of a meal, at the end of the day, and we would backfill it all with a cake. And that's why you see me have those protein baked goods every night, is because it's very, very easy for me to eat X, Y, and Z and backfill it all. And that is the super secret ninja squirrel strategy that no one ever takes me up on. So that's on you, fam. I just gave you the keys to the kingdom, the easiest way to eat anything you want and nail triple zeros all day long. You take it or you leave it. That's on you.
So, let's see.
Tips on protein muffins.
Tips on, yeah. So we'll get to comments. We're getting your comments, but we'll get to them. Good. These tips are going to help. Murphy, actually, I just read that the tips are going to help. So,
am I doing these
tips then? Yeah, go ahead and do the comments first.
Murphy says, muffins are always a filler for me. The nights I have extra carbs, they taste better than the nights that I don't. Boom. Straight protein muffins can be a little dry, but they're edible.
I'm going to get to that.
Fantastic. That is it. Coach Steve, you missed a bunch, bud, but I'm so glad you're here, my man. And I hope that bank thing gets taken out. Steve had a bank thing.
Oh.
Like we had a bank thing.
Oh.
Ian, this makes perfect sense to me. Maple syrup in a shake is a good go-to. So Ann's got some more tips for anybody on the muffin train.
Yeah, tips. Do we want to get into favorite protein powders as well, since it ties in?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about protein powders first, because that ties into tips. Our favorite protein powders. The one that I used for baking specifically is Dymatize Elite XT. It is a whey blend. So if you have sensitivities to dairy or whey, you may need to look for an alternative. However, Dymatize XT bakes for me better than anything else. It forms up better. It doesn't get super rock hard. That's the one we like. We do have links to it in the member portal. We should or will have links, or we can give you a link to the Dymatize that we use.
We can give you a link. Yeah. And spilling beans here, we will have a whole new awesome store is the wrong word, a whole collection of links to the stuff we love in the member portal.
We're getting it together very soon. For you. But we can drop a link if you want it, or I'm sure somebody else can as well. So, Dymatize Elite XT, we use for baking. When you choose proteins, be cautious. Casein and isolates, and this typically includes plant-based protein as well. They don't tend to bake up very well. They either fall apart, or they get kind of hard and crunchy and don't form, or they get super, super dry. So if you go to bake protein powders, tips. One, if you can afford a ratio of pancake mix, use it, because the pancake mix makes it fluffy and soft. Protein will get a little thicker and harder in texture if it's by itself than a normal muffin or waffle. So yeah, if you make it out of straight protein and you go, this is not a waffle. Well, it's not the same thing. It's not the same. So use pancake mix, any kind of complete mix that only needs water added. Use that. I've used brownie mix before, cookie mix. I've used any kind of powder and it bakes up. 1-to-1 to start. If you're questioning your ratios and you can afford it, use a 1-to-1 ratio of protein to pancake mix. How dry they are depends on a couple things. If you bake them too long. So here's what you have to keep in mind. If you're using ingredients that are not raw, so you're not using raw eggs or anything like that, it has to be cooked and it's just pancake mix and protein powder and some fillers, you're not actually cooking anything, right? You're not cooking the protein, you're just reshaping it. So all you want is just enough to get the shape, so undercook them. Don't wait for the waffle timer to go off. Give it a little check. Don't wait for the muffins to come out clean with a toothpick. Check them and leave them a little soft because that's going to help keep them more edible. Otherwise, you could end up with hockey pucks.
It is always better to have a lava cake than it is a hockey puck.
Yes. The other thing for texture, put stuff in it. If you just use protein powder and pancake mix, it can be delicious. It can be great. I do it all the time. But if you add fruit, so we'll put strawberries or blueberries in there, or jelly or jam,
or bananas.
Bananas are great.
Or pumpkin.
Yep. Pumpkin puree, Amy brought that up. Pumpkin is amazing for texture. It keeps it super soft.
Pro tip from Coach Amy.
There it is.
Pumpkin puree, change the game for you with protein muffins. Bananas will do the same thing too.
You can also add peanut butter is one of my favorite. Oh,
Coach Adams here. Yep. If you got a bolt, no big deal. Work is work. I kind of just made a post about you having to work sometimes.
Yeah.
It's weird.
We love you, dude. Be safe. Peanut butter is one of my favorite add-ins. Ooh. If you don't have the macros for peanut butter, grab some PB Fit. You can throw that in there because it changes the texture. You can also use Greek yogurt.
Y'all want to get next level.
Ooh.
Y'all want to get a little meta. Take your protein muffins. Make a protein pudding. Put it on top of the protein muffin. Protein on protein.
Jonathan's going to have this tonight.
He has protein on protein.
Chocolate protein muffins with coffee ice cream.
Get
icing.
Out.
All
you
protein.
Can dip it in icing. You can ice it like a cupcake. You can have Karen Hodge come over and like make you feel so inferior because her cupcake skills are so good.
Masterclass.
But yeah, so that's a way you can kind of add some moisture to your things, man, and bump your protein up a little bit. Make your little protein pudding, a little different flavor combo, chocolate coffee like I'm doing right now. You buy that UR salted caramel, your whole damn world changes. That's the best protein flavor, period.
Yeah.
If you like salt. And I do. But yeah.
So Murphy, I think those are the best tips.
And Murphy brings up a good point here. And this is an it depends. Murphy says that she finds 350 for 10 minutes is perfect for mini muffins. Yeah. Your mileage is going to vary there. It depends on your ingredients, your size, your oven, and all that stuff like that. So when anybody asks me, like they put me in the corner. Nobody puts baby in a corner. But you put me in a corner. And you ask me what the dealio is, I'll say, I don't know, man, 350 for 7 to 12. Give it a go. Yeah. Err on the side of under. Again, it's always better to have a lava cake than a hockey puck.
And if you really severely undercook muffins or waffles or something, and they're just gooey, you can put them in the microwave. You can microwave them for 30
Pro
seconds.
Tip.
And it kind of helps finish that texture up. So always go under, though.
So, Amy, did that help at all? If you didn't get the name of our favorite protein, make a thread. Ask us, tag us, send us a message, and we'll be able to get the link to you so you can get it delivered straight to your dough.
Yeah.
Because we Amazon these things a lot. Awesome.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome. I don't know if right now you're hearing me ask because there's a lag or whatever, but good. I'm glad. Amy said it's super helpful, and I can't wait to give them a try. So fantastic.
Good.
So good. I'm glad we hit this one. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. It's going to get a little interesting. Going to get a little stiff. Going to get a little empathy going. Going to get all kinds of stuff here. Murphy.
Oh, yeah, Murphy. So I underbake Jonathan's cakes almost every night, and then I'll usually just hit him with 30 seconds in the microwave just to give him a little extra fluff.
Annette, man, I love it. If you notice, I'm a big fan of all of those protein waffles, protein pancakes, protein French toast, and man, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Is it always going to taste like a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity from IHOP? Is it going to be a fluffy stack like this? Probably not, but it's also not going to be 3,700 calories. So we have to go into this thing thinking like, okay, do you have to get 102 on every exam, right? Do you have to get the extra credit on everything, or is sometimes a 91 good enough to whatever? You know, the whole joke. Ann's dad loves it when I say it, is what do they call the guy that passed med school with a 70? They call him Doctor. But the guy that got that 100 and burned out that first semester, they call him a failure. So we want you guys to all be doctors. We want you to graduate and be real happy and throw your hat up in the air. And part of that is finding ways to fit your favorites in your plan. Doesn't always mean you get to have them exactly the way you want. It's been 7 years since I've had hot wings, chicken wings from a restaurant, because when you bring them out and they are just lathered in, like lathered in the oil they cook the fat, and I go, huh.
That's a tough one to give
that's
up.
That's not going to fit, but I have buffalo chicken and buffalo blue cheese, and I have all kinds of stuff all the time. So we find ways to make our flavor profiles fit, and maybe they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. That's okay. We go together. Ian says, if you're not Ann Montgomery and you're me and you can't bake for shit, we get a discount from Pam Body, and that lady makes insane brownies.
Yep,
there are always alternatives. Someone will always cook you some protein goods. And, you know, a lot of people do this. This is a little bit too fancy for us because we lazy.
I'm lazy.
But I hear this helps out quite a bit.
Yep.
And when we do the, help me out, the bread pudding. We will do egg white in that sometimes, and it gives it like a souffle kind of texture with that. But yeah, whip an egg in it, add your batter for mega fluff.
Amy did call it too. If you are in a deficit at any point, or your calories are lower, you cannot afford the carbs in pancake mix, you can fluff eggs right into your protein powder. It will be a different texture, but it does make them fluffy pancakes.
Or the egg white, you know, egg white gimmick or whatever.
Yeah.
But all right, man, shut it down.
Serious time.
Shut it down. We're going to get serious. This is from a man, Kay. I know he's over in Egypt right now, and he's going through some tough stuff, and we're going to do what we can to help him and help everybody out in the fam. So,
if I like run out of the frame, just so y'all know, I have my handy little timer here.
We've got picanha on the official grill of the First In family, the Rectech 380B. We're smoking some picanha. Are you going to be gone? Are you going to hit the reverse sear, put it in the riot mode? What's going on?
Yeah, I'll be back. We'll just put it that way.
All right. It's gonna be a good one. Let's get the emotional subject for the real sensitive guy here, Jonathan. So my man Kay asks, for emotional eaters / people, he wants us to jam on how to handle emotions so they don't affect your consistency in nutrition. And guys, this is a big one. It has a lot of layers and it has a lot of levels to it. So the first thing I gotta say is it depends. We gotta be really, 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 really cognizant here of what's going on during these type of situations. And the thing is because an overwhelming majority of the cases on planet Earth, the people, the population, or whatever, eating is a voluntary act, okay? A lot has to go into finding a food item, getting it ready, and consuming it. It's not for an overwhelming majority of the world something that just happens. If it is something that just happens, blackout, wake up, don't recall anything, we got a serious issue, right? When we look at emotional eating outside of isolated occurrences, you know, major issues, stress, good, bad, you stress, this stress, whatever it is, if this is happening on a consistent basis, we really got to examine some things. And if we start examining those things and they feel like they're not choices and they feel like they're not voluntary, you need to talk to somebody who's skilled in handling this. And that is not a coach. That is a medical professional. That is a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist. It is somebody who is trained in ED, somebody who is trained in these situations. Because I'll be honest with you, again, eating, chewing, mastication, preparation, these are mechanical behaviors. These require cognition. These require voluntary physical movements. So we have to kind of understand we're not eating our emotions. We're letting our emotions dictate our actions. And that's a totally different thing. And to put this in perspective, you guys may not be aware of this, but I'm a pretty emotional guy. And by that, I mean, you can ask a couple of coaches. I'm sure they've seen it. And you can ask this woman right here. I have emotional outbursts all the time, constantly. And mine have very little to do with eating, and they have a heck of a lot to do with murderous rage. like flip 0 to 100. Oh my goodness, I'm going to throw this desk over. I've got to whatever. I'm gonna get out of my car and walk to the guy at the air pump and ask him what he's thinking he's doing. I have all these emotions that come out all the time. They come out every day when the computer doesn't work, when I open my email, when I check my instant messages, when I walk to the mailbox, when there's dog poop, whatever. Man, I'm an emotional guy. And if I acted out those emotional urges that I have, I'd be in prison. Like I'd be in prison. So why do I not do that? Because I value my freedom more than I do those emotions. So I listen, I make a rational choice. Doesn't mean I don't feel that rage. Man, I'm sure all the coaches can chime in and tell you that they've seen it, they've heard it, they've experienced it, they've witnessed it, and I know she can. Man, This heart is on my sleeve. I don't hide anything on my face. She just talked about it last night. Master told me to go train with these two brand new dudes, and my shoulders jacked, and I was like literally like, dude.
He made a face that serious? Was so, like, just, it was so awful. I had to turn around and walk away because I didn't want to hear, like, how that was going to go down.
And that's who I am. I have emotional, visceral, instant reactions. But you know what I did? I said, oh God, dude, one, I don't want to insult my professor. Two, I don't want Master to kick my ass. And three, out of respect for him and his 46 years of training, I'm going to go over there and train with these two dudes. I ended up hurting my shoulder. So, you know, that's the thing, right? So what I'm trying to say here is we are going to feel our feelings. They do not necessarily have to dictate our actions or our response. Because if that is occurring to you and you feel that you have no control and you cannot make a rational decision in the face of your emotions, then that is a problem that a coach cannot handle. Because I have feelings. I have lots of them all the time. And I don't act on a single one of them. Because prison is a scary idea. I've just seen movies, and I don't want to go there. I like walking and seeing the sunrise. It's one of the only things that mellows me out. I like that. So I choose rational behavior. If you truly feel you cannot make a rational decision, I am going to implore you, I'm going to beg you to go find somebody who can help you with that, because that is not a coaching issue, and that does not appear to be a nutrition issue. This is not saying that's UK. This is not saying that's anyone in the family. This is simply saying we've got to make these distinctions, because we are not therapists. We are not trained for this. This is not what we do. We want to help you guys do good things, but part of that is knowing where our limitations are.
And we need to make it clear too, this is not like, oh, I had a frustrating day and I went ate the house down, but then I was okay, right? So this is not a one-time occurrence. It's not a one-off. It's not a few times a year I get sad and I eat my feels. This is, you cannot talk yourself down over and over and over multiple times and actually make rational decisions.
Right. This is different. This is different. Like I said, man, never once when you know, I ate myself to my finest hour, which you can see in Ann's post today. Never once did I not know what I was doing. Was I not in control, man? You know, maybe I was like, oh, just one more, and it turned into seven more, but it was still a conscious action. You know, if I guess I shouldn't say if I was going to stab my wife with a screwdriver, but if I was going to stab my wife with a screwdriver.
He saw him looking around for something.
There's a lot I have to do. I have to reach over. I have to one, get the thought. Two, I have to run it through my filter. Like, do I really want to stab with a screwdriver? Okay, I do. I've got to grab the screwdriver. I've got to pick it up. I've got to put it in my hand, and then I've got to stab her with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to, you know, knife fight her.
By the way, if anybody doesn't know us, there is no threat of Jonathan stabbing me with this screwdriver. No.
That's not why the screwdriver's here.
Don't call the police. It's fine.
If I wanted to poke in with the pokey stick,
we're going to poke in.
Then I'd have to pick up the pokey stick and I'd have to make a move. Those are conscious decisions. If I black out and I've stabbed in with a screwdriver, I need to go talk to somebody because there's some stuff going on that needs to be fixed. And this is the line we're going to draw. Getting upset, being emotional, doesn't mean you're hungry. It means you're looking for relief. My wife's leaving. This is going to get real dangerous. Being emotional isn't tied necessarily, because there is a gut-brain connection. It's not necessarily hunger that you're looking for. What you're looking for is I want to feel better. I don't want to feel this way. I'm feeling great and I want to celebrate. You want a connection. You want some sort of reaction. You want a reward. In the habit loop discussion in psychology, there's a cue, there's a habit, there's a reward. The cue in this point is you're feeling emotional. The reward is you want something to happen. Let's say you're sad. Just made it simple. I'm sad. I want to be happy. That's what you want. This intermediary, this change that comes between sad and happy is the habit. That is the action you take to elicit the response. That habit can be changed. It doesn't have to be eating. In fact, I post about this quite a bit. People talk about self-care. And I think self-care is awesome. I wish I had more of it in my life, that's for sure. It's something that I think we all need. We need to take care of ourselves. But at the end of the day, self-care should always end with a net positive. Engaging in something that you think is going to lead to happiness, I'm sad, I eat so I can be happy, should be a net positive. But most of the time when we emotionally eat, it doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to distraction in the moment, potentially escapism, and then it piles on to our problem. It adds fuel to the fire. It's like getting a flat tire, walking around and slashing the other three. It doesn't make anything better. You need to change the tire, not wreck the rest of the car. You need to put the fire out, not add fuel to it. So when these situations occur, what do you want to do? I know that if I act out on my anger, on my raging, if I type angry emails, I leave crazy comments on Facebook, I get in altercations down the street, I poke in with the pokey stick, that's not going to elicit a net positive response. It may feel okay in the second, but it's going to add more problems to my life. At that point, at that situation, the last thing I want is more problems. I want to feel better. So my suggestion is, whatever the emotion is, whatever the outcome is you're seeking, find a habit that actually brings about that reward. And I hope that makes sense, because emotion and feelings doesn't necessarily require eating. Right? There's a lot of ways that we can change our state, that we can go from one emotion to another, or we can take an emotion, we can potentiate it and make it even more powerful if that's what we want to do. Because emotions don't necessarily have to be negative, right? They can be very positive emotions. A lot of people have very positive attachments. When they're happy, they want to eat because that's the way they celebrated. That's the way they were treated as a child. All these are things like that. But if we look at another example, like if somebody grew up with terrible habits, maybe they grew up with terrible beliefs in their mindset that their parents instilled onto them, whether it's racism or sexism or crazy nationalism, whatever it is, we'd expect them at a certain point to an adult to try to reverse those, right? It's not okay that you were just brought up that way, that you've always done those things. We'd want you to work actively to become better because you know better now. It's the same thing here. Just because you've always done something, the person you've always been before isn't going to bring you to the person you want to be, okay? So if you've always done X when you've been emotional, good thing is you got all those other letters you can try. Throw some numbers in there. Throw some Greek alphabet in there. There's a billion different ways you can find things to do these things without necessarily emotionally eating and thinking that that's the answer. Because never once has making things harder on myself been a net positive. It hasn't made anything better. So that's totally like my intro to this thing I wanted to get out, was to let you guys know that, man, if you really feel you've lost all ability to be rational in your decisions, that's outside the scope of what First In can do. We can empathize with you, we can support you, we can encourage you, we can help instill any instructions you're given that are within our way to talk to you about it. But man, if you're really feeling like you're so compelled that you can't make rational decisions, I don't know what anything I'm gonna say is gonna help you. I got tips and tricks, and I'll share some tips and tricks when Ann gets back, because I love tips and tricks. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the root cause of this problem, because I don't think this is a food thing, right? I think if it's to the point where you can't make a rational decision, you got to see somebody smarter than I am. You know, I can't help with that. But I also think that if you peel it back and you're like a lot of us, and this isn't talking to anyone in specific, it's not just to you, okay? This is in general. If you go, you know what, man? I did go open the cabinet, grab the peanut butter, pull out the bread, click the toaster on the brown setting I like because my wife likes it a little bit lighter than I do, popped it in, grabbed the jelly, grabbed the knife, and you did all these things to make you a PB&J and poured a big old glass of whole milk. A lot of thought went into that behavior, a lot of rational action. You put the toaster on the right setting you want, you grab the grape jelly, not the strawberry, you use the whole milk, not the skim or the almond. You made a ton of choices before you even got the sandwich on the plate to shove it in your mouth. That's rational behavior. So if you're making rational decisions and rational actions and you're just saying, fuck it, I don't feel good, that's a choice. We can find a different habit there. We can help you find different ways to do that. But what we can't do is, if you're telling me you're so driven and so compelled to eat you don't think you do anything, we're not the people that can help. So I hope that intro makes sense. I'm going to catch up on some comments. I'm hoping my wife comes back because she's got some really good tips too. But yeah, so what Ian said is eating disorders induced by trauma definitely need doctors to help break a cycle where food becomes the comfort instead of dealing with the trauma. Absolutely. Escapism is a lot of the driving force behind addiction. Not addictive personality, not addictive behavior. There is a genetic component to that. But a lot of addictive behavior, new onset addictive, and replacing kind of like what a lot of addictive personalities do, absolutely can be trying to find a way to escape from dealing with a scenario. Something I can't help you with. If we point it out, we can find it, and you think you're in control of it, fantastic. We can talk about it. We can talk through it. We can go, hey, what's the trigger? Hey, what's the reminder? Hey, what can you look out for next time? Do you think this weekend's going to be one of those times when you got to watch out a little bit and be on your guard? We can do stuff like that. We can't necessarily fix it all. Emily said, Anne is kind of my therapist right as she turns in a room. That's great. And Murphy says, Emily Schaefer the same. But the keyword there is kind of. Kind of a therapist. Not an actual therapist. Ian right here. The ground is my therapist. Oh, my wife is a psychology major. Ian definitely utilizes activity. And he'll say it just like he did, as a form of therapy. He uses running sometimes, maybe more than he should, more than what would be considered healthy, as his outlet. Does that mean it's good or bad? Depends on his outcomes. It depends on his choices, and it depends on how he feels about it. And that's a line that it's not our place to cross. I could say, hey, bro, if you run this much, you're going to have difficulty doing this, building muscle. Or if you run so much, not Ian, but if someone runs so much that they have injuries, stress fractures, and they keep running on them because it's in here, that may not be a good habit to reach that reward. They may want to find something else that, again, yields a net positive. Self-care should always end in a net positive. If it doesn't, it's not self-care. You're not taking care of yourself. You're making matters worse. And that's not what we're here for. Emily says, it's unfortunate how much I've seen, all from eating to gambling to substance and alcohol abuse. We have to find better ways to self-soothe. I'm a huge mental health advocate. Absolutely.
Yeah, Emily, you see a lot of it, I know, in the position that you were in with the hospital. You saw a lot of those habits coming back to bite people in negative ways. And while it feels potentially good in the moment to kind of drown things out with substance abuse or alcohol abuse or gambling, eating, whatever it happens to be, in the long run, that stuff typically comes back as a net negative in big, big ways.
Murphy, don't speak in absolutes, but you're correct to a very large degree. Everyone emotional eats at some point. I believe. Okay, cool. Awesome. I got to read the whole sentence. Everyone emotional eats at some point, I believe, said Murphy. My family got a cancer diagnosis. I ate my feelings. I then confessed. You don't confess. You just tell. We're not trained for that either, right? I then confessed to Anne and moved on. If you can't move on, there's something deeper to address. I agree with you 100%. I probably should have took this time to tell a story, but I'm not going to tell a story. But the whole point is you make decisions. If housing that large pizza you truly feel after you gave it thought, part of my tips, will make you feel better, you see this? That's a high five coming your way. I support you 100%. If it truly helps you better the situation, if it helps you get through it, if it helps you adapt and overcome, if it helps you endure, I'm your biggest fan.
And that's something that, talk to us. Talk to us and tell us, while we are not therapists and we will not give you actionable advice on how to change or fix or handle serious issues that need to be handled by a professional, we are always here for you guys to talk to. And sometimes communicating what has happened can make you feel a little better about the situation, because a lot of people, especially when you're newer to having a coach or newer to the family, get nervous to talk to us or tell us what happened. So maybe you just don't report it on your tracker, you don't tell your coach, oh, I don't know what happened this week. Is that going to help? I don't know, maybe. But from what I have found, it usually helps to let us know, hey, I had a day. You don't have to give us details, we don't need to know what happened. I had a day, I ate all the things. Our very first response is always going to be, are you okay? If the answer is yes, awesome. Now we move on.
High five.
It's never emotional. There's never judgment. We are all the same people that all of you are. I have housed an entire box of cereal before. It was emotional eating. It was kind of the same situation, Murphy, that you were in. Ate a whole box of cereal on top of my entire day that was already over. So it's not like this stuff doesn't happen to us. And confessing is the word you used, but communicating that to us is huge, because we just want to make sure that you are okay and that you're handling whatever situation is happening. From there, it's just about, how do we move forward? How do we look at tomorrow and the next day and the next day and just take steps forward?
Keep it real with us, man. Help us help you. We cannot help you if we don't know what's going on. And if you don't feel you can be open and honest with us, there's nothing we can do, right? So I know it's been a little heavy. If you guys want to lighten it up, if you guys want to hear some tips and tricks, let us know. Give us some hearts, some thumbs up, some smiley faces. Let's not be so upset. Let's pull this nose up. But I just thought that was kind of serious, something that needed to be addressed. If you guys want to move on into some ways we can handle some of this mild stuff, some of this like, oh man, my boss yelled at me, he's a jerk, I want to eat some Oreos. We got some tips and tricks for you that I think might help. So just let us know if you guys want to hear that. While I'm waiting for somebody to tell me they're still here listening to me, and I'm not just going to walk off and go get dinner. Annette says, I love listening to you. I know of someone that can use this when they're ready.
When they're ready.
When they're ready is a great spot. We would love to help anybody when they're ready. But I just had a discussion with a member of the fam a couple days ago. Awesome dude. Love this guy so much. If he watches his replay, he'll know I'm talking about him. But he said, yo, man, my buddy, he's so excited. He's ready. He's like, can you talk to him and help nudge him over a little bit? And I said, no, man. I said, I talked to him last April 8th. That was like on the 17th. I said, I reached out to him last. He said he's thinking about it. He's ready. I said, whenever he's ready, that's great. I said, because right now, he's at a tipping point, right? He's trying to decide if he's ready. And yeah, there's a great chance I could bust out some brilliant ad copy and find his pain point, and I could push him into the family. But if he's not ready to receive coaching and guidance and join us and be an awesome member of this fam, then there's a great chance he's going to have that pushback, feel forced, and quit. And then he may never, or it may be a long time till he's ready again to find some sustainable change. And we've painted a bad picture of what life can be for this guy. But if we wait till he's ready and he comes to us, then there's a great chance he's going to be committed and ready to do it. So I love what you said right there. Yeah. Thanks for listening to us. I like listening to Anne, but she left y'all high and dry with me for a little bit.
I know, and
so
I'm
going
to have to leave you high and dry for another couple minutes in a minute. Just so everybody knows, we have to sear this steak, and we have to put the grill on riot mode, which means like 750 degrees. So it takes a little bit to get up there. But Annette, yeah, when they're ready, it's not fair to that person to start them before they're ready or to push them into anything. It's not fair to the coaches, and it's certainly not fair to you guys in the family to bring somebody in who's not ready, because they potentially are going to just detract from the family and the tribe. And we don't want anybody to leave thinking, oh, I got shoved into this. You know, like car salesman. Used car salesman shoves you into this car. 2 days later, you regret it, and you think it's the worst decision ever. That's never what we want to do. We'll never, ever do that to you guys.
But thank you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Made me feel good ranting by myself for 10 minutes. Thanks, babe. Anna says, great info. We'll have to catch the replay. Time to go coach some minions. All right. Mike Mills got the button clicked. My man, dude, I told you this is my man. I told
you
right there.
You got you. Jonathan will get started on tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks, yes. Danielle Frisbee, yes. Bobby, yay. Bobby, you made it just in time for Ann to leave. Tips and tricks, y'all. Tips and tricks. So let's talk about some tips and tricks, right? These are ways to where, you know, my man Ryan Holiday has this awesome book called The Obstacle is the Way, right? And that's not exactly what I'm going to talk about here, but what I'm going to talk about is shaping the path, right? I'm actually going to talk about putting some obstacles in the way, because what we just circled back to, what we just talked about in the beginning, is eating is a manual process. It is voluntary. Unless you are somewhere where someone is holding you down and force feeding you, you know, they got the airplanes coming in the hangar, you know, with the fork, and they are making you eat, it is a voluntary choice. It doesn't mean it's always easy to walk away, but it means it's voluntary. It's going to require you to do some things to get the food. So what if we use that to our advantage, right? And that's where some of these tips and tricks come in, and they're going to kind of escalate into the severity, if you will, right? Into the amount of effort they may take to execute, or into the amount of lunacy that it entails. But let's go ahead and we'll get right in before Ann gets here, gets back. I guess she's searing a steak right now. My first tip or trick, I would say, is if you want something, you know when you get emotional, or you know you get a craving, right? And you know you want chocolate, or you want wine, or you want scotch, or you want something special. You want something decadent. No problem, right? If it fits, it fits. But if you find yourself wanting these things at a time when it normally doesn't fit, here's one way you can kind of make sure you really want it. And that's by buying the best in class. I want you to buy the absolute best you can afford. Maybe even you can't afford it. Like, I'm talking like the bougiest of foods you can get. You like cheese? You have this flown in from some extremely crazy French province, you know, overnighted. And, you know, it's some $50 an ounce cheese that, boy, it better be special. You know, you grab a 20 a 20-year aged bottle of scotch. You grab an $800 bottle of wine. I bet you don't drink the whole thing if you're paying $800 for it. Maybe you do. You've made that choice, right? With its chocolate, you get the most expensive chocolate you can find. And you make an investment in these things. And it's kind of like, in case of emergency, break glass. If you've put your money where your mouth is, you're going to be a lot less likely to binge on it. You're going to be a lot less likely to eat the entire chocolate bar if that some bitch costs $75. I know I will be. I'm going to do without. I'm a BOGO guy. But if you have these things that you find that you just can't moderate, make it prohibitive. Make it expensive. Make it sting. You know? Ann's dad is like a wine guy. And he has these bottles of port. They're like, what, 50 years?
Yeah.
50-year bottles of port. They don't get busted out when he has a hankering to tie one on. That's like some extreme special occasions. I think, you know, we've had it once. Twice, maybe. So, if you know there's something that triggers you, cool, man. Invest in it. Make it sting. Make it hurt. Like, oh, man, if I'm gonna go ahead and kill that whole bar, that whole block of cheese, that whole whatever, I'm going to have to go work 3 overtime shifts for it. That's one way, if you're making rational decisions, might help you make better decisions. The next idea I have is, man, you're having a craving. You're having a craving, and oh, you just, I got to have it. Great. Eat anything you want. As long as it's at a grocery store, at least 15 minutes away from your house. Eat anything you want. You have my permission. I don't care what your coach says. You eat anything you want. You're going to have to get dressed. You're going to have to get in your car. You're going to have to drive to the store. You're going to have to wait in the checkout line. You're going to have to put your mask on. You're going to deal with all that shenanigans. You're going to have to buy it. You're going to drive back to your house. Can't eat there. Drive back to your house. Get undone, unwound. And if you spent 30, 45 minutes thinking this through and you still decide you're going to eat whatever it is, fantastic. Have it. Because that's enough of a rational decision. You got to own it. That's your decision. So many voluntary actions took place for you to get dressed and get in your car. Oh, I really want some ice cream. I'll go ahead and drive 40 minutes across town. Mm-mm. Get in the car and drive it. Don't keep it in the house. The next thing, it's a little bit more extreme. It's along the same lines of that. Have anything you want, but you got to make it from scratch. You want a cake? You're going to bake it. You want a pizza? Let's see it. Put the flour out. Boy, you got to make it. You want ice cream? You got to freeze it. If in the hours of effort it takes for you to sit there and, I'm so emotional, I've got this craving for ice cream, and you're waiting for the churn to go off and it to freeze, you still want it? Eat it, because you've made a rational decision. And you're going to have to be able to own it. And that's on you. That's on you. If you understand that you are in control, and these behaviors and these habits, they prove it to you that you're in control, then you're just making a choice. You know, what we always say is our priorities are dictated by our actions. What's important to us gets done. It's just not always what we say is important to us. So if you're willing to damn grab some eggs and some flour and some sugar and some pineapple and make yourself a pineapple upside down cake and bake it and wait 2.5 hours for it, good on you, because you're making a choice. You're making a choice to eat to excess. And I can go, damn fam, you must have really wanted that cake. High five. You've earned it. And what I mean by that is you've earned every ounce of gain or lost every ounce of progress you might have made. One of the things we talk about here is the concept of earning every ounce. Nothing is given. You have to earn it. You have literally earned and made every ounce of progress you've earned. If it's not enough, no problem. I'm not done. I've got to earn more if I want to make more. So do you. So these are ways to make the decision a little more rational. Now, this last one's pretty damn extreme. It's pretty damn extreme, and it's for a reason, because I want to illustrate that mismatch I just mentioned between priorities and actions. If y'all are sensitive, if you're up in your feels, you may not like where this is. This is not to shame anybody. This is not to whatever. This is a strategy I would do, because when I do this next activity, I see the things that I don't like to. This isn't a whatever. This is a universal truism here that I think it helps people out. And it stems back to my lifting days when buddy Matt went, when I said, you know, man, I bet we'd work out with different if we had to do it naked. And he's like, yeah, I bet we would. I bet we work out different. It's true. The next time you have a craving, Jonathan said so, you have anything you want. Anything you want. But here's the catch. You got to walk in to your bedroom, to your closet, to your bathroom, wherever this next instrument is. You turn on all the lights. You got to open all the curtains, get all the daylight in. And you get butt naked. You take it all off. You strip down to the damn birthday suit, the way you were born. And you stand in front of a full-length mirror. And every bite of whatever you want to eat, you do it staring at yourself. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm saying you need to understand that your actions have consequences. And the consequence here in choosing to find, to get a cue, to search for a reward, and pick a habit that isn't necessarily yielding a total net positive, is it's probably not going to help you reach your goals. And so if you can sit there and you can look at what most of us want to change, not all of us are here to improve physically, but for those of us that are, if you can sit and look at the progress you have currently earned, the way your mama made you, if you can look at that and you can eat the large pizza and you can eat the half gallon ice cream and you can drink the 3 bottles of wine, or you can have the 47 chicken wings, or you can go, you can't go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah, don't do this in public.
You can't go to the Chinese buffet.
And maybe don't open your curtains if you're like facing a street.
Well, I mean, you know, you get what you get. It's not lewd and lascivious if they look in your house. That's been proven, held up. If you can do that, then you have made a rational choice, staring the change you want to make in the face. You are looking at what you have probably said in your intake notes you wanted to change. You're looking at it, and you're still choosing to eat. You have made the most rational of rational decisions. You are exercising your control and choosing to do it. And you can think it's extreme. Give it a go. Give it a shot and let me know how it works out. Because if you're able to do that, then your actions are defining and revealing your priorities. Your priorities may not be what even you think they are, and that's okay. We can help with that. We can peel back and go, well, you know what, man, maybe the goals you set for yourself, you're not willing to do the work it takes to reach them. That's okay. Maybe we can find some different intermediaries. Maybe we can make it even slower and make more baby steps to do it. But that's the thing. It's all about finding what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And these are ways that you can peel it back, because you have to understand every one of these actions requires voluntary effort. No one trips, fell, finds themselves naked in front of a mirror eating a pizza. Too many steps, you know, required to do that. And what this boils down to me is simply this. If the food's in your house, either you or someone you love is going to eat it. I'm going to say that one more time. If the food is in your house, or the alcohol, or the edibles, whatever you do you. If it's in your house, you or someone you love is going to eat it. If it can be moderated, if it can yield a net positive, it doesn't matter what's in your house. Remember, you can eat anything in the world and make progress. You just can't eat everything. We have stuff in our house that if you've been here for a while, you wouldn't be surprised. But if you haven't, you go, there's no way they eat that shit, man. There's no way. There's no way that guy puts mint chocolate Kit Kats on his bagels, on his French toast bagels. Yeah, I do it every Sunday.
We have a whole bag. Jonathan doesn't even know this. I got these for him. We have a whole bag of mini Reese's peanut butter pretzel cups
I saw those in the fridge. I didn't know they were pretzel, but that's amazing. Whole bags of stuff, 27 different kinds of cereals, cookie dough, everything you want. You know what we don't have in the house? Giant blocks of cheese, because I can't moderate those. I know me. If I want cheese, I'm the guy that's got to order this stuff from France. So here's the thing. If it's in your house, you or someone you love is going to eat it. If you're having trouble with it, don't have it in the house. If you got to eat it, make it expensive. If you have to have it in the moment, drive to the store. Make it yourself from scratch. No cauliflower pizza crust, no Publix pizza dough. No, man, you want it and you can't moderate it and you're going to bust your plan. You make it from scratch. You put the effort into it, or do it naked. If you can do any of those things, you've made a rational decision. You're not emotionally eating anymore. You're just making a decision that's not congruent with what you say your goals are, but it's actually revealing your true priorities to yourself. And they may not be where you think they are, and they may not be where you say they are. And that's what I got. Tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Get naked, fam. So yeah, man, that's it. I think that's what we got right now. Ian said he's going to get in the car. Hey, bud.
You're going to drive 15 plus minutes?
I support it, man. This is not me joking, man. I'm not, you know, from my British friends, I'm not taking a piss right now. I am literally being 100% serious. Do these tips. Because you've made so many decisions, you have no choice but to own the outcome. And that's all we're here to do. We are here to help you guys make informed decisions that you're willing to accept the outcome of. That's it. I'm not here to judge you. I just told you, if you think eating the pizza will make you feel better, you truly believe that way and it does, right here, kapow. But you have to make sure you're willing to accept the outcome of that decision, not in the 5 seconds it takes you to gorge, but in the 5 minutes, the 5 hours, the 5 days, the 5 weeks afterwards, when you have to reflect back and go, I left progress on the table. Sometimes we gotta touch the stove to remember it's hot. But it's up to you if you get that third degree burn and start losing digits because you keep touching it and you set yourself back. We can't fix that. So that's all we got right now. My man, Mike, you came in on a pretty heavy Finn Live. So thank you, man. I'm glad these tips and tricks already in your week zero, you're figuring out maybe where you can put some in place. That's awesome. Keep it normal. I know you're having some trouble with that. That's okay. But that's what we got, fam. So if you got anything else for us, my thing that I wanted to jam on, it's another kind of heavy one. I think I'm gonna stuff that because we've already been on here for a little bit. But fam, if you got anything right now, it's time for the free for all. I'll get this one day.
Well, one day.
Free for all.
Not today.
So if you got a question, drop it in here. And if not, man, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, letting us get a little serious, letting us, make our legal disclaimer 700 times that we are indeed not therapists. We cannot therapize you. If you need therapizing, we expect you to go find somebody with a bunch of initials after their name, a little alphabet soup thing. That's not us. But we will help you do good things. We are here to help good people do good things any way we can. So, Annette, have a great night. Thank you. Thank you so much. You made our day. We appreciate it. Facebook user, that is not Mike Mills. I'm sitting on the edge of that stove right next to the burner teetering. Might burn again. Great. Get naked when you do it. Get naked and stand in front of that full-length mirror and you burn it down because then you know you're owning that choice. And that's, I'm dead serious. My people that are here, don't send me an email saying, oh, you know, I had a bad day at work and I ate all this stuff unless you tell me you were butt naked when you did it. Because these are tips and tricks you can use. These are actionable things you can take to realize that you are in control. I made a post today. It said, control the things you can control or be content being controlled by the things you cannot. That's it, guys. I'm here to tell you that you have way more potential and way more ability to control than you tell us sometimes you do in your weekly tracker. Write these tips and tricks down. Engage in them. Use them before you go, oh, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Let me know how that 15-minute cruise to the store, the 12-minute walk around, run into your nosy neighbor who wants to talk about the kids' soccer game for another 30 minutes, then the 15-minute trip back. Let me know how that works out just so you could eat some bonbons. You're going to get real tired of it real quick if you commit to actually doing something for a change to get the change you want to make. Bobby.
Yeah, you guys had cross-country travels.
Absolutely. You know what, man? And if something sounds like it's going to change your life, eat it. Just own it. If you're traveling, it may be hard to use the full-length mirror trick. So use the other ones, right? Use the other ones. When you sit down, you know, man, I get it. I like eating crazy stuff too. But maybe following guys, diners, drive-ins, and dives route isn't the best plan, right? Or if it is, you do one a day and you coffee and hate the rest. You know, we all know those tips and tricks. So, you know, that's how that goes. So, you know, when you're traveling, you do the best you can. Every decision has an opportunity cost in the form of the decision you didn't make. That's it. That's irrefutable. Every choice you make comes with the choices you can no longer make having made that choice. Sometimes that's progress. You got to be okay with it before you make the decision. And that's what we're trying to tell you guys. Make decisions you can accept the outcome of. A lot goes into, I'm traveling on the road. We're going to pull off here and eat. We're going to stop and park the car. I'm going to get out and stretch my legs. I'm going to go, oh, that place sounds good. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to pick up a menu. I'm going to scan the entire thing. I'm going to choose something on there that is going to be tough for me to fit in my plan. Notice it said choose. Waitress didn't float it and come over and slap that plate down and say, you're eating this, you know, and you know, Gustav came in the back and put his knee in your back and started force feeding. You know, man, we make these choices. And I support every single choice you make as long as you're happy with the outcome. If you tell me you're not happy with that outcome, we got to figure out how you can make better choices next time because we can't undo the past. Getting heavy. Emily said, when my dad died, I came unglued. I mean, I legit had a piece of me die inside. That's devastating, I understand. I turned to food and didn't care about anything else. I was absolutely not thinking rationally because I sometimes wouldn't even shower. You, of all people, know that line. You know what I mean? We know that's not what we would consider in your normal wheelhouse. She says, Ann and Jonathan never gave up on me, and that meant the world to me. We're here to help. We're not here, you know? Man, she's going to make me tear up right here. She says, these folks are generally wonderful people, and that's why y'all will always be my people. And that's what it's about. You know, when we say that something's not in our wheelhouse, man, it's not that we don't want to help. It's that I want you to get the help you deserve. And it ain't from listening to this guy all the time. I can help you with a few things. I used to be pretty good at bass guitar. I'm okay at jiu-jitsu. I can help you with some stuff, but man, something like that, when you feel like you've lost that much yourself, I can't help that. I couldn't help her, you know? There are things that I'm not prepared or equipped to do that I'm not an expert at, and I want you to find the help you need. And that's why when I say, hey, man, I can't help with that, it's like if you said, hey, man, do you remember how to calculate the rate of expansion of a conical pile? It's like, no, I don't, man. I wrote haikus in Clark Berry's, what's the damn calculus class? I was writing haikus. I can't remember the name of the math. So no, I'm not the man you want for that. I'm not going to engineer a structure for you. But I can help you with what I can help. But if I tell you I don't know, I'm not holding it back. It's not my wheelhouse. I can try to help you find out, but there's a certain time when I gotta pass it off. You gotta go to somebody higher level than me.
And Emily, we never gave up on you because you never gave up.
That's the
because
fact, right there.
Through everything, you still continue to talk to us, and you still continue to just be there and be here. And even if you weren't doing something, you weren't tracking, you weren't showering, you weren't taking care of yourself, it doesn't matter because you didn't give up. And we're never, ever going to give up on somebody who refuses to give up on themselves. We'll always be here. Even if we cannot do anything for you in the moment to help, we will still be here when we need to be.
For everybody that's here or catching this on the Finn Live replay or whatever, I've said this a couple times to people in the family that maybe weren't a right fit for us at the time. We weren't the right fit for them. They weren't the right fit for the family. You got to ring the bell. You got to let us know you're done. You got to say, hey, man, ding, 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 I'm out, I quit. because not a single member of this team, not a single coach, not Ann or myself, not Adam, not Tasha, not Amy, not Steve, not PJ, not Kim, not a single member of this team will quit on you unless you quit on yourself. We will match your effort 100% of the way. We will do whatever it takes to help you succeed. But we can never exceed your effort. We can never make you want this any more than you do. So we'll never quit on anybody. Our idea of doing the work to win the prize has nothing to do with a scale. It has nothing to do with a triple zero. It has nothing to do with a bicep vein. What is the first thing, one of the first things we ask you in your weekly tracker? Surprise, Mike, you'll find out about it soon. What is one of the first things we ask you? How do you feel you did this week? What is your rate of perceived effort? How much effort did you put in? Because we want to know what you really feel. Like we described in that terribly long, boring video, you can feel you did 100%. And your numbers could say you didn't. They could say they're pretty bad. But if you really come at me and you tell me that's the best you can do, great. Now let's work on getting your skills up. Now let's work on getting your logistics up. Maybe we make it. Maybe make the hard stuff even less difficult. Maybe we really peel back some layers. Maybe you're in a spot right now where we gotta take a couple steps back. Some lateral moves. We're going to keep you hanging on the ladder. Maybe you think you did terrible. You got a 62, a 58, a 40, but you triple zeroed every day. What's going on? Now we got to ask what's going on. Maybe we're crossing one of those thresholds like Emily explained. We're not the people that can help with this, because if you think you're doing so bad, but these things that we can help you with are looking so good, maybe we want to look at something else. And that's what we're here for. But we can match your effort, and we will walk this walk with you every step of the way, but we can never exceed it. And that's what I want you guys to know. We will never quit on you. You want to leave, you got to ring that bell, fam. And, you know, we support you if that's a rational decision. If you've decided this isn't for you, you're done, mow your own lawn, hate us, whatever it is, fantastic. Ding, ding, ding. Because we're not going to quit on you. We're going to keep asking what's going on, what can we do to help. We're going to keep reaching out to you. We're going to keep doing these things because we want you to win. If we didn't care, we'd charge a whole lot more money. We'd work with a whole lot less of you, and I'd take days off. I would have had a day off in the last 6 years that I haven't. So that's not what we're here for. We're here to help, and that's why we need you to help us help you. So my man Mike said, Emily, what a story. Thank you for sharing. Danielle said, 100% feel this. I was in the same boat, and it's been 2 years. We know about this.
Yeah, Danielle, it doesn't get easier. I'm coming up on 4 years in June this year. It doesn't get easier. Year one, year four, year 12, year 22, I don't care what year it is. That stuff doesn't get any easier. It's hard, but that's why we're here, to try to help you in any way we can, to kind of just get through those days, those weeks.
Val said, glad you're still on. Val, you missed some good stuff. Yeah, we're winding it down now. But yeah, man, thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming in. Check this replay out. Let us know what you think. My man John Conjimmy said it's a master class tonight. Very timely for me. Thank you. Brother, thank you, man. I was talking to a member of the fam today, and she was talking about having some bumps in the road, but she's got her head in a great place. She's excited, and I was cheering for her. And I was cheering for her because... nobody can head on a journey of a significant duration and not expect there to be bumps in the road. Not expect there's a potential chance for a detour, right? John, triple digit weight loss, bro. That's a hell of a journey. It's a hell of an accomplishment. That's a hell of a milestone. I'd expect there'd be some emotions in the middle of this. I'd expect there to be some setbacks, some grumpies, some happies. I'd expect all these things to happen. So if anything helps you here, I love it, man. I love it because you're a damn hero, bro. You've done what so many people, you know,
will never do.
Yeah, will never do, will never understand. You've changed your life so radically, and here you are still coming down to see us in June. We can't wait, man. I mean, I love it. So I'm thank you. Thank you for those kind words, man. We appreciate it. Again, I never even stayed at Holiday Inn Express pretending to be a therapizer. So I'm glad something that my little brain can deliver some value for. I know she knows what she's doing. So she's awesome too. I tell her the same thing every day. Val's going to catch the full replay. Sounds like an awesome conversation.
You're like me. You fix that grammar when you catch it. Damn it.
I know, man. I did that in team chat the other day. I'm like, oh, dang it. On this final thumbs up from my man, John, we're going to go ahead and cash this one out, fam. It's been awesome hanging out with you guys tonight. Thanks for letting us come in here and dive in. Thanks for letting us talk muffins, talk emotions, talk nudity. Take it outside the box for a little bit, if you will. We appreciate you guys so much, man. I think sometimes members of the fam don't realize how much that you're our family too. That you guys help us just as much, if not more, than we help you guys. And, man, we just appreciate the hell of you guys. So thanks for being awesome. Thanks for spending your Friday with us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Your comments, keep your questions coming in. I almost said take your selfies, but it's not Monday.
Not selfie day.
You can see what kind of day I had. Mark my words, if we can get it here, there'll be a new computer for this thing next week. I'm excited. And most importantly, thanks for being first in, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Bye.